Literary works of Allah, Hazrat. Literary works of Allah, Hazrat.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers, welcome to another episode of our program The Literary Works of Ala Hazrat. Alhamdulillah, in this program, we look at the works of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the treasure of knowledge that he left behind for the Ummah, and we discuss the topics of his works, what he has covered, how many Quranic ayahs he's used, how many ahadith he's used in support of his work. But before we get into that, let us mention an excellence of reciting Salat upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has mentioned in a hadith that whoever recites salat upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inscribe between his eyes, this person is free from hypocrisy and he's free from the fire of hell. Subhanallah. And the blessings don't end there. The hadith continues that on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will keep this person, meaning the one who recites Salat 100 times upon the Prophet alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him amongst the shuhada, the martyrs of Islam. Subhanallah. What a great honor and excellence. And in order to achieve it, what must we do? We must recite Salat upon the Prophet alayhi salam 100 times. And let's be honest with ourselves, we have so much time for social media, for other activities that may not even benefit us at all in this world or in the hereafter. In fact, could be a cause of remorse. But when it comes to beautiful and blessed acts like this, we need to make time. Only 100 times, how long will it take? Maybe 5 minutes. If you sit down every day, you will gain satisfaction of the heart. And inshallah, you will gain the blessings mentioned in the hadith as well. May Allah give us tawfiq to recite salat in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So continuing our program, and mentioning the books of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi that he wrote for our benefit, and we should study his works, inshallah, it will only increase us in knowledge. One work I would like to present before you is titled Tajalli al-Yaqeen bi anna nabiyyana sayyidul mursaleen. Radiance of faith that our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the master of all messengers. Now, in this work, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi answers those who claim that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam isn't the best of all messengers and prophets. And because they were deviants, they would say this with ma'azallah arrogance, and they would say it with the intention of disrespect as well. What kind of Muslims were these people? They claimed to be Muslims, they claimed to be guides for the public, the Muslim Ummah, yet they were making claims like this. They were denigrating, they were trying to lower the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But who can lower the status of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam? Allah jalla wa ala himself says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ That, O beloved, we have raised for you your remembrance. So if Allah has raised the remembrance of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, how can anyone stop it? Now in this work, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he proves that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the master of all messengers. He is the best of all prophets and messengers. He is their master. And alhamdulillah, he proved it by quoting 100 ahadith. 100 ahadith. Now, dear viewers, I just want you to ponder, if somebody can find 100 ahadith on just one topic, then imagine his mastery in ilmul hadith. There were people who came after Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and they tried to convince people that Ala Hazrat wasn't very strong in hadith, meaning he didn't have mastery of hadith. Now I want to ask yourself, I want you to be just. If somebody can quote 100 hadith on this topic, in other works, for example, regarding the Prophet ﷺ being the remover of afflictions, Allah has quoted 200 hadith. If somebody can do this at will, meaning Allah has given him so much knowledge, and as we will hear in other works, Allah Hazrat goes into narrator criticism, al-jarh wa ta'adil, and he goes into other sciences of hadith. And who can say that Allah Hazrat wasn't a muhaddith in hadith, that Allah Hazrat didn't have mastery in hadith? Only that person can say it who has a diseased heart. So in this work, Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi, he proves that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the master of all prophets. And his style, his methodology is so beautiful. Remember, this is a subject where not everybody can tackle this subject. Not everybody can answer it in such a way that he maintains adab throughout the whole discussion. Why? Because there will be a comparison of prophets. How the Prophet ﷺ is greater than, for example, the other Ulul Azm messengers, the other highly resolute messengers, Sayyiduna Ibrahim ﷺ, etc. And how he is greater than all other Anbiya ﷺ. But Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he discusses this so beautifully, with so much etiquette and so much adab, that he remains within the boundaries of Sharia. And this is something that people of today should also recognize and should also understand. This is why it's important to study the works of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi. What some people do is, they develop a bit of passion, they want to write a naad, for example, and they will write on this topic about how the Prophet Alayhi Salaam is greater than other Anbiya Alayhi Salaam, and whilst doing this, they disrespect another prophet. Whilst doing this, they try to lower the rank, the shan of another prophet. So they're not scholarly people, and they don't know how sensitive this matter is. When you're even tackling an issue of this nature, you have to maintain adab. You cannot even say a single word which would fall into disrespect for other anbiya alayhi musallam. Now Allah Hazrat does this beautifully. Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions, for example, how Allah Jalla wa Ala in the Quran, when he addresses other prophets alayhim salatu wassalam, he addresses them by their name. He addresses them by their name. For example, Ya Musa, inni istafaytuka ala an-nasi bi risalati wa bi kalami. Ya Nuhu, innahu laysa min ahlik. So like this throughout the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala, when he refers to other prophets, you can find that he mentions their blessed name. But when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say Ya Muhammad. He doesn't call out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam using Ya, the harfun nida, the vocative particle, and he doesn't mention the name of the Prophet alayhi wasallam after the Ya. What he says is Ya ayyuha Rasul, O beloved messenger. Ya ayyuha Nabi, O Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always mentions descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yasin is used, Taha is used, so many beautiful names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are used. Similarly, Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi discusses this topic about how the Prophet alayhi wa sallam is the greatest messenger, and he mentions certain accounts. He asks the believers to ponder, and he says, look, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a request from the great prophet Musa alayhi salam himself. That Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, show me your noble self. I want to see you. And we know the incident of the mountain where a tajalli, a manifestation of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fell upon the mountain and Musa alayhi salam fell unconscious. But when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself invited his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj to the heavens, beyond the heavens, showed him Jannah, Jahannam, so many beautiful creations. And eventually the scholars of Islam have proven that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his own beautiful eyes. Meaning he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran mentions فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. In Surah Najm, there are beautiful verses alluding to this night journey as well. And here we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself inviting his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's not a sarih, an explicit request from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here Allah is proving, look at the difference. Musa alayhi salam is requesting it. The beloved is invited by Allah himself. And then, for example, Musa alayhi salam prays, Rabbi shrah li sadri, O Allah, expand my chest for me. This is the dua of Musa alayhi salam. This is what Musa alayhi salam asked Allah Azza wa Jal to do. But when we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, Alam nashrah laka sadrak? Did we not expand your chest for you? So subhanAllah, this is how Allah rahmatullahi alayhi tackles this topic, maintaining adab. And these are just a few Quranic ayat that I've mentioned. The hadith are other than this. Like I said, 100 ahadith Allah rahmatullahi alayhi uses that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that on the day of judgment, Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, great Anbiya like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam will also be in need of me. That on the day of judgment, I will be the master of the children of Adam. Everyone will be under my flag of praise. So here, again proving through hadith that the Prophet ﷺ is the best of creation. And we have the hadith al-Shafa'at where all the Anbiya ﷺ will tell the people, go to someone else, go to someone else. Until eventually Isa ﷺ will say, go to Sayyidina Muhammad ﷺ, he can help you today. The Prophet ﷺ will open the door to Shafa'ah. So like this, Allah has comprehensively covers this topic. And he proves that the Prophet ﷺ is the best of creation, is the master of all the messengers. Alhamdulillah, when you study this work, you realize it's not just a book where he answers a question and he gives proof after proof. It becomes like a biography. You're reading the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah jalla wa'ala enable us to read this work. Another work of the great Imam that I'd like to discuss, Al-Fadlul Mawhibi fi Ma'na إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثِ فَهُوَ مَذْهَبِي. The bestowed grace in the saying, the sahih hadith is my madhab. Now we know that Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he issued verdicts in accordance to the Hanafi school of thought. He was a muqallid, a follower of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Al-A'zam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. And one of his life missions was to defend the Hanafi school of thought. Because remember at that time there were many people who were against taqleed. They were trying to convince others that taqleed is not something that is part of the religion. You shouldn't follow schools of thought. And many of those opponents, they had intense hatred for the Hanafi school of thought. And they would try and find every excuse to write against it. And what happened was, on one occasion, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he was asked a question about a saying of the great Imam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, that a saying is attributed to Imam Al-Azm, إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثِ فَهُوَ مَذْهَبِي. That if you find a sahih hadith, if there is a sahih hadith, then that's my madhab. And those who are against taqleed, they would use this and say, look, the great Imam himself is saying that if you find a sahih hadith, follow it. Forget what I say. Don't follow my ruling. But this isn't the understanding of that saying. What is the context of that saying? Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, subhanallah, he covers this topic and he says, just for a hadith to be sahih doesn't automatically qualify for it to be acted upon by a muqallid. Meaning, it doesn't mean to say that every sahih hadith is to be acted upon. And he gives so many examples of how there are sahih hadith, but sahaba did not act upon them. Why? Because there are other sahih hadith as well. You have to have a comprehensive knowledge of hadith. You have to study all the hadith related to a topic. And then the scholars came to some sort of conclusion. And 1400 years later, Allahu Akbar, if a normal person is saying, oh, I found a sahih hadith, I'm going to follow it now. That's very incorrect to do. And we also admit and we agree that in any field of life, we do not say anything from our own self. We ask the experts. For example, you're not going to watch a video about surgery and go into a theater and start operating on someone. Of course you're not going to do that. You leave it to the experts. And likewise in any field, whether it's the teaching field, whether it's the food industry, any field and any industry, you will leave it to the experts to make judgments and to explain the correct way. So how come when it comes to the deen, when it comes to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people take it lightly? Everyone becomes a scholar. People don't have basic knowledge and they're like, I came across this hadith, and this is why you're wrong. This is why what you do in salah, this is wrong. And this is why this act of yours is wrong. I've read a hadith about this. Subhanallah. If it was that easy, then everyone would be a scholar. But no, Not everybody is Imam Malik. Not everybody is Imam Abu Hanifa. Not everybody is Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi. These were special people who exerted their whole life. Their whole life was spent in accumulating, amassing knowledge and acting upon it, teaching it to others. They went in depth into that knowledge. They were research scholars. So here, going back to the book, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi explains that even a mujtahid scholar, a mujtahid imam, someone who derives rulings from Quran and Hadith, even he has to pass through four valleys. And he explains them. He says one valley is more difficult than the other. And only then can you adopt a Hadith as your madhab. So those people who present this saying of the great imam and try to use it to convince people that it's easy, just find a Sahih Hadith and follow it, that they couldn't be further from the truth. It's not as easy as that. Ala Hazrat shows his mastery in Hadith again. If somebody reads this work, he will realize Ala Hazrat's mastery in Hadith and why acting upon a Sahih Hadith on every occasion is wrong. There are many Sahih Hadith that we don't act upon. And he gives you the methodology and he gives the teaching or the reasoning behind that. So, this is another beautiful work of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, where he discusses many acts. Just to give you a few examples, Raf'ul Yadain, raising the hands when going into ruku, when going into sajda, the Hanafi madhab, we don't do this. Or praying qunut with one jalsa, we don't do this in our madhab. And just because there are Sahih Hadith out there proving this, we don't leave the rulings derived by Imam Abu Hanifa and his students and follow the Sahih Hadith. So Allah Azza Rahmatullahi Alayh speaks about this in this beautiful book, Al-Fadlul Mawhibi Fi Ma'na Idha Sahha Al-Hadith Fahuwa Madhabi. This is actually taught in Takhassus Fil Fiqh courses. Somebody who is going to become a Mufti and who's going to take on the responsibility of answering questions, giving verdicts, he has to study works like this. It's maybe not a book for the awam, for the public, but if you want to learn about it, again, sit with a Mufti of Islam, sit with an authentic scholar of Islam, and whatever you learn from it will be a blessing. Even if you learn two words from it, even if you learn five words from it, inshallah, you will gain blessings through that. Another work of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, Subhanallah. This work is titled Subhan Subbuh, Glorification of the Sanctified from an Odious Flaw Like Falsehood. And in this work, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh again refutes those people who were spreading misguidance. And this is the work of a mujaddid. He was a mujaddid of Islam. What do we learn in the hadith? That a mujaddid is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes to reform the matters of the deen. مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this individual for the ummah so that he reforms the issues of the deen. What does this mean? That he presents them once again like they were before, in their pristine form. Because misguidance will have crept in, innovations will be rife, and the mujaddid will come and he will say, this is wrong, this is incorrect, this is not the belief of the aslaf, this is not what the sahaba believed. And again he will present the beautiful teachings of Islam to the people. And in this book, what happened? An old wrong belief, a very evil belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie. Now this was a belief of the Mu'tazili sect. So many years ago, in the beginning period of Islam when this sect appeared, it had so many wrong beliefs. One of them was that lying is included in the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the divine power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would try and use Quranic evidences to support this. And this was an old belief. And in Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi's time, what happened was certain people tried to revive this teaching. It had died with the Mu'tazila. But in Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi's time, people tried to revive it. And they would try to give evidence from previous scholars and say, and said, so-and-so scholar also believed it. So-and-so scholar said, it's fine to believe in this. Ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah. Just imagine. The Quran says, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. That who is more truthful in speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. The Quran mentions this. And here we have someone saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie. And some ma'adhala went to the extent of saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did lie. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi was Mujaddid. He wasn't going to stay back and let this go. He was going to prove it academically from the viewpoint of Sharia, based on Quran and Hadith and the Aqwal of the Ulama, that this is a wrong belief. How can a Muslim have such a belief? Astaghfirullah. If somebody said today that so-and-so's father or mother is a liar, do you think he would tolerate that? Or his child is a liar? Say, no, you can't say that about my son or my daughter. They're not liars. Even if they were, he would find it hard to accept that or hear that from someone else. But here we have the blessed Dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is free from lying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's transcendent above having any defect, any aib attributed to Him. And yet you have people in Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi's time saying this. How could the great Imam hold back? And this was his love for Allah Jalla wa Ala, that no, how can people say this regarding my Creator? How dare they say this? And again, he picked up his blessed pen and he wrote this work, Subhana Subuh, when he was only 35 years of age. 35 years of age, dear viewers of Islam. This was in the year 1307 Hijri. Subhanallah, he proved from the viewpoint of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that nobody from Ahlus Sunnah held this belief. Nobody had this belief that lying is included within the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie. And again, it's a very academic work that the scholars study, but if somebody wants to gain blessings, they can sit with the scholar and ask them to teach what Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala wrote and left for the Ummah. But this is another beautiful work of his, doing exactly what a Mujaddid does, that clarifying for the people the straight path, the right belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here proving that kadhib, lying, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply cannot do. It's not included within his qudra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transcendent and above that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most truthful in speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was known as Sadiqul Wa'di wal Amin, the one who was truthful in his promise. Now imagine for one moment, ma'azallah, that someone were to believe this. How can he ever defend the religion of Islam? How can he ever defend the Quran being truth? The Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So common sense must prevail. And this is why it's important for us to hang on to scholars like the great Imam, to cling to them, to stay in their court, to always pray, Ya Allah, keep us amongst the guided, like Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, and to raise us with these beautiful and great people as well. Inshallah, we'll stop there, and in the next episode, we will cover more texts written by the great Imam. And you have noticed by now, subhanallah, these are tajdidi works. These are works that, you know, led to revival. Alhamdulillah, led to people again adopting the correct belief. Otherwise, astaghfirullah, ma'azallah, imagine the great Imam didn't write these works. Imagine he didn't stand up for the truth. What would be the case today? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him and he did what a Mujaddid does. Until the next episode, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us amongst the guided, preserve our faith, and enable us to always, always adopt the right aqidah, the right belief. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Literary works of Allah Hazrat. Literary works of Allah Hazrat.